Shocker. How are you? Are you up on your FIBA Americas trivia?
Oh, on my trivia. I don't know if I'm up on my trivia, but I'm doing well. And yeah, and I had the chance to go out and cover them a little bit before the tournament started. Chatted with a few of the girls. Chatted with their coach. They're a pretty impressive bunch, I have to say. They're all extremely well spoken. They're very positive, and so they should be coming off that big win at the Pan Am Games. And they're blowing the doors off through a couple of games here at the FIBA Americas. So, yeah, it's an impressive group, including Kia Nurse, Darnell's sister.
Yeah, dominating victory last night, and you know, a game that everybody expects them to win tonight. And then the Thursday game will really decide first or second in their pool, and which is a huge game because you likely can avoid Brazil in the semis.
Yeah, for sure. So the way that it shakes down is if they can just play clean and beat the teams they should beat, then they put themselves in a good spot. So, and it's interesting, you know, like they have a chance to qualify for the Olympics. They're probably going to qualify for the Olympics anyways. Even if they don't win this event somehow, there's another tournament and they have the opportunity still to qualify. But they're taking this pretty seriously and they want to do this in front of Edmontonians and in front of Canadians. So like that was the one big sentiment that I got from all of them that I talked to the other day was like, they don't very often get to play games that mean anything in front of Canadian fans.
You should still
fans.
Come in
it's
and just
so
for that
dumb.
Monday, unless
they're
you're out of town.
All over the world, and there's very rarely any really big, meaningful events here. And so for this group of girls to, you know, most of them were part of a team that finished fifth at the World Cup last year. And not a lot of people knew that. I mean, fifth for a Canadian women's basketball team at a World Cup is spectacular. And then they come, they win the Pan Am Games, and now have a chance to qualify for the Olympics on Canadian soil. So it really means a lot to them, to the program, to play games that count and games that put the program on display here in Canada. And they're really, really excited about that. So that's the one thing that really stood out to me, and they're playing well so far. And by the way, how good's Dusty doing on air?
Honestly, I haven't seen the television broadcast yet.
He's done a fantastic, I have to say, for a guy who, you know, pulls himself out of bed at 3 o'clock in the morning every day to get to work, do his job. I think he's doing a fantastic job calling the games. I've tuned into a couple. I've watched the whole thing, but it's not easy. He's doing these games and countries and these names that, I mean, it's not fun or easy to remember some of those names, and the big man's killing it. So I wanted to send a shout out to him, and I think he's doing a great job.
Well, I've heard his call on the highlights,
yep.
And much more subdued than I was expecting. But he's probably saving that to build
it
up for the weekend. Yes,
I'll tell you why. Because I was talking to him before this event, and I was supposed to do this event, or they asked me to do this event, but it was right smack in the middle of some family stuff and some holidays. So Dusty's doing a fantastic job, but he's got to do 21 games in 7 days. So if you listen to him, if you've ever heard him call hockey, I mean, there's no way he could sustain that for a week straight doing 3 games a day. So he is subdued, but he's subdued for a reason. You got to save it for the medal rounds and save it for the crescendo and save it for the medal winning basket. So he's just on a good solid pace right now, but no, the big man's doing a good job.
Yeah, well, when you're in the ring, in the building, it's kind of hard to watch it on TV. So I know that you know, the games have been pretty well attended, but I do know that tonight probably a little bit smaller of a crowd. They're kind of expecting that, but Thursday's game should be sold out, and then the weekend games, playoffs, like in any city, they will sell out on Saturday and likely.
And for people to go see, I mean, this team is going to compete at the Olympics, and they're going to take a run at it at the Olympics. I mean, they just beat the United States at the Pan Am Games. So if you go see this team, pretty much this entire team will be the same one competing at the Summer Olympics in Rio. So it's a chance to go get a look at this team before you're watching them at the biggest event there is. So it's just a cool chance to see them now, because this will be the same group.
Now, Nilsson was telling me he thinks you have had a spray tan because you're very tanned. Is it spray or is it legit? I said, no, I think it's legit.
No. All I would have to do is peel my shirt off for you to see how legit the tan is, because when I'm standing there wearing a dress shirt or a T-shirt, I look nicely tanned, and then it's blinding when I take the shirt off because it's the farmer's tan. So, no, it's very, very legit. I've had some good holiday time and a chance to soak up a few rays But I am very, very, very white-skinned still in most of the parts that are covered by my shirt. Nice of him to notice that, though.
Yeah, hey, you know what? He's well, he checks you out. That's good.
Well, I don't know why he'd say that. That's just a weird thing to say.
Marco Marc Olivier White signs an American League deal with the Oilers. Was drafted in 13, was not signed, went back in the draft, not drafted, no one signed him. And, you know, really, you know, an opportunity. Like, this guy's going there. I would be stunned if he's not starting in the East Coast Hockey League this year.
Boy, it's been quite the fall, hey, for this prospect. I mean, from a second round pick who probably shouldn't have been a second round pick, but second round pick nonetheless. And again, this is the player that they based so much of their analytics. It was kind of a test case for analytics, as we've read about. And it just makes me question the idea of analytics in major junior hockey. I mean, I just don't understand where the value could be given the stats that are kept are like 1/10 of what's actually kept in the National Hockey League. I mean, you don't get near the breadth of stats that you get in NHL games. So to try and base draft picks on analytics of players that play in a league where you don't have the same statistical information available, I don't know. And they're all smarter than I am, so they must have a way of figuring it out. But it's never made sense to me at all, the idea of hardcore analytics in major junior hockey and picking based on that. So that's where this player came from. His points per game went down 3 straight years in the Quebec Major Junior League. And that's not all. He went from 67 to 35 to 50. And then you look at his games played, it's his average points per game went down 3 consecutive years. So that's a declining asset and a guy that's just might have peaked early, or maybe he's still going to find his way, but he's got an uphill battle.
Yeah, fair point. I think at times maybe you can rely too much on analytics, and sometimes maybe you can rely too little on them.
Well, but I don't get it in junior.
Like, yeah, like I totally agree with you.
Do you have any idea how it works?
At that level, there's so much disparity in age, and you know which stats are, unless you're going to compile them yourself, you're trusting it to do a lot of amateur statisticians to begin with.
For sure. So it just kind of, I think for at that level, it's probably a little too early for kids that are 16, 17, and 18 years old to be looking at these players and trying to gauge what kind of analytics they will have as pro players. Well, he was a real possession type player in major junior, so that's going to be the way he is in pro hockey. I'm not sure that translates. They don't have the information they need. They don't have the information they need. And I don't know that it translates 3-4 years later when the player has matured. I just wouldn't be putting a whole heap of faith in them. Now, I'd be interested, and I don't know who you could ever have on or who would spill the beans a little bit. Maybe there's a bunch of info out there that you and I and Joe Public doesn't have access to, and it's a whole handbook, maybe. But even still, these are young guys, and they have a lot of developing in their game yet to do.
Ryan Schock from TSN joins us. We are now just about 5 weeks away, just under, from the rookie camp that starts in Penticton. And, you know, that's when people will see Nurse and Draisaitl and that Connor McDavid lad that everybody's talking about, and rightfully so. What's your expectations of Draisaitl this year? Do you think, A, is he playing left wing? Is he playing right wing? Do you think he's destined for the minors? What do you think happens with Draisaitl in preseason and training camp?
I think his best chance to make this team will be on the wing. And I do think that Todd McClellan is open-minded to the idea of playing him on the wing at the NHL level. I do think that. I've had a few conversations with him, and I've gotten the sense from him that he's open to that. He's done it with players before. I think he did it with Pavelski. He's done it with other guys, maybe even Logan Couture. And he's had some success with that. Patrick Marleau came and went from the wing for years and settled there, but at a time was a center. So, I mean, I think his best chance to have success and make the team will be off the wing. Now, there's kind of two schools of thought, right? As a center, what he has the opportunity to do is swing low, deep in his own zone, and gather some speed through the neutral zone and attack with a little bit of speed, right? And that, he needs that. He needed that at the NHL level to be able to be up to speed. Problem with on the wing is a lot of times you're starting from a dead start. And so will he be able to keep up? I mean, will he be able to from a, you know, being flat-footed, bust up ice and catch up with the rush. Once he's up to speed, he's fine. It's that first few steps. So the school thought is, well, that'd be good for him because it would force him to keep his feet moving, force him to really get his feet moving rather than being able to rely on these big swinging circles. And I think McClellan leans a little bit more towards that notion. Starting him on the wing will force this player to get fast feet and use them more often instead of being able to glide as a center. So I think with that idea in mind, now they've filled a lot of spots and they've brought a lot of NHL players in. I don't think they mind 1 ounce the idea because they got a gaping hole in their number one center position in the American Hockey League. And I could see them looking directly at him to play some big minutes and do that as well.
He is he's an intriguing player for me. And lastly, Darnell Nurse, as the season or the summer winds down.
Yeah.
What's your ultimate expectation for him?
Well, do you know what? I think we're going to be talking about Darnell Nurse having clearly made the team, but there's technically no spot for him. And so it's going to be that decision that they've come down to with a few guys where he's clearly probably the fifth best defenseman in camp or better, but there isn't enough room for him based on some other contracts and other situations. And so I think, you know, I think they'll have a tough decision to make with Darnell. I don't think it's any issue at all if he plays a big chunk of the year in the American League this year. I have no issue with that. But I think you and I at some point on your show are going to be talking about the guy made the team. He outplayed this guy. He outplayed Nikitin. He outplayed Reinhardt. He outplayed that guy. He's a beast. He outplayed everybody. He should, you know, he's made the team. Yet what do they do because of all these spots? And so I think that'll be the narrative on Nurse in the first month.
It's going to be interesting, Char. Are you going to be taking in any more of the FIBA action this weekend?
You know what? Actually, my brother is graduating as an RCMP officer. So I'm very, very proud to say at 40 years old, he went and did all the training in Regina. So the entire family, mom and the brothers and everybody, were all heading out there to take part in his graduation ceremony. And he's been posted in Kelowna, of all the wonderful places you can get posted, straight out RCMP training. So, yeah, it's going to be a little Rashad family road trip coming up, and we're going to celebrate with my brother.
Well, congratulations. That'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. We'll talk soon.